It's another good morning. Yes, good morning. Can see your greetings. And we are in the book of Luke, and we are having, you know, this, we are following this birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are looking at the events, and we are able to see how Luke, who, you know, was a Gentile, and he was writing to Theophilus, who we have seen was a Gentile audience or a Gentile ruler. So the name could have been either a title or the name of the person. But he was being given a reason to just what he believes. And Luke says he had done a careful study. And you know, we are told that Luke was a doctor. And so you can see the detail that he goes through to go in step by step, and is able to capture everything. And there's so much lessons that we learn from these stories. And I pray that God will help us, you know, take root and keep taking something and still going back and still getting something fresh and something different. And we are in that place where Mary has just received, this is in Luke chapter 1, Mary has just received the message, and she has just said, you know what, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word. And that, we say, that was a place of surrender. That is a place of telling God that, you know, God, you're free. You're free to interrupt my schedule. You're free to do according to your will. I'm available to be a vessel that will carry our Messiah, that will carry the Christ, that will carry the Son of God. I'm available, you know, to suffer, whether it will be ridicule or whether it will be, you know, to be left by my own, you know, husband to be. I'm okay with people thinking I'm crazy, and I'm okay with people thinking every negative thoughts that they will have about me. But because you, it comes from you, I have believed what you have said, and it is a great honor to do this. And so we are looking at that place of assignment, that place where God, you know, asks us to do something that does interrupt our schedule, does interrupt our, you know, whether it's our career or our a place of where we thought we will be. But you see, God's blessing are tied to assignments. You know, God's provision are tied to his visions. And where God places you, our job is to align. You know, if you think of, you know, when Jesus was telling his disciples that anyone that is born again will be like the wind, you know, you won't know from where it comes from and from where it blows away, you know. And that means it's a place where you, if a plane wants to take off, it must, or rather if a bird or if anything wants to take off, it must know the direction of the wind. And when you're aware of the direction of the wind, or even like a boat, then you have to set your sails in the direction of the wind. Then you are able to go with that strength. Because imagine if you're going against the wind, you must either have, you will use more strength, you must either have the strength to do that, or you're going to be crushed. So what birds do is that they go in the direction of the wind, and they are able to be carried. And this speaks to the place of being led by the Spirit of God, to be energized such that we can mount up with wings. You know, we can mount up with wings. And there's a place that God wants us to grow into, that it is okay as long as I'm being led by God in this direction. The Bible says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the mature sons of God, are the sons of God. And this speaks of the mature sons of God, those that are led, those that are sensitive to his voice, those that have heard his voice, those that are going in his direction. And there's no better place, or there's no safer place to be than in the will of God, because God does not, you know, God is not in our realm of understanding. He is in a different realm, in that for us, we look at the outward thing, but you see, the Bible tells us we have treasure within us, treasures of, you know, not of clay, but we have treasures in earthen vessels, you know, to show that the excellency of the power is not of us, but is of God. So there's an excellency of the power. in us. There's an excellency of the power in us that is not of us. It is of God. And it's not in the color that people expect. It's not in the height or the skin color or whatever thoughts that people expect. But there is a hidden glory that God has placed in each of us. And as we grow in sensitivity and as we grow in obedience, that glory continually is revealed. And the Bible tells us that our glory is continually growing. Our glory is continually getting better, and we are growing from one level of glory to another. So we are in the book of Luke, and we are now in verse 39. And the Bible says, in those days, Mary went with haste to the hill country and to a town in Judah. And the Bible says, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? From behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And I want to just connect it with also 46, where it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So Mary immediately receives that message, and you see the angel tells her that, you know, what I'm telling you looks impossible, but nothing will be impossible with God. And even better, your own cousin, Elizabeth, who was barren, who was called barren, is now 6 months with child. And so the angel gives Mary a reference point that, you see, even that which you're asking for, that which it looks impossible, I've already dealt with another impossibility. So even what I am telling you to do is not impossible. And you see, Mary in obedience goes to connect with Elizabeth. And we can see that's the place where God even gives us people who have gone ahead of us, you know, who have experienced what we desire to experience. And there's a place of preparation, and God has always placed men in ahead of us. Think of Paul when he goes to Damascus, already God has prepared Ananias, you know. So there's always someone that God has prepared ahead of us. There are people that God has placed before us, and they have a responsibility. And one of the things that you will learn about God is that actually God places, he will rather send a man or rather he will direct you to a man than rather even send you an angel. You know, at times people are looking for angels, they're looking for this, but the things with God is that he will actually give you another man. He will point you to someone and say, follow this person, you know, or follow or listen to this, you know. Because why? Because it is easier for you to understand and to see, because God, you know, what he has revealed is like in scriptures. If you're looking for an answer and it's already in the Bible, don't expect that, you know, that God will now speak it out from somewhere else. yet it is an answer that it is for you to study it. It's for you to find it. So what God has revealed, He has revealed, and He expects us to, you know, to reach out for it. Yeah. So, but now, when Mary now goes to reach out to Jesus, when Mary goes to reach out to Elizabeth, something supernatural happens. And this here we see that the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaps for joy. Now, what does that tell you? It now starts to show you the connectedness, and this thing is not natural. This thing is supernatural. You know, remember we are told that your baby will be filled with the Spirit, you know, from birth. So for me, I actually believe that this was the point where even John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. Why? Because he was encountering Christ. And remember, Christ is the second Adam. He's a life-giving Spirit. You know, the Bible says He is a quickening Spirit, a life-giving Spirit. So immediately, John in the womb encounters the Christ, the second Adam, the one who is the life-giving Spirit. He is filled with the Spirit, and not only is John the Baptist filled with the Spirit, also now the mother is also. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, and beyond Elizabeth being filled with the Spirit, then also Mary herself is filled with the Spirit. You can imagine all this infillings and this outpouring of the Spirit that is happening. And you know, these were people who you will not call at this point where the new creation, because to them, the Old Testament believers, the Holy Spirit will come upon them, you know, and leave, or come upon them and just allow them to do a specific function, anoint them. And this is where we see how now for Elizabeth, she now becomes the first person to recognize and to call Jesus Christ as Lord. You can see that. He becomes the first person to call Jesus Christ as Lord. Why? Because it is by the Spirit of God she is able to recognize, he's able to recognize that this is the Messiah, this is the Lord, and says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now think of it. Immediately the angel spoke to Mary, and Mary left. That means that from that very moment, conception happened. Now, if you're thinking of science, and if you're thinking even if it's like a week of reaching to where Mary Elizabeth was, from that moment that God had spoken, Christ had already come into the womb, and Christ had already become Lord. And you can see that Elizabeth already recognizes, and through the Spirit of God, that this is the Messiah. And she says that, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she asks, why is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so we see the baby in the womb recognizes that. John the Baptist leaps for joy. If the baby could have been able to speak, I believe even John the Baptist would have, you know, prophesied something at that point. The mother prophesies and speaks that. And then as well also Mary glorifies God. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servants. And this is Luke chapter 1, and we're there in verse 46. And for who is mighty, he has done great things for me. And I want us to reflect on how God would, you know, reveal himself to the Old Testament, and when the Holy Spirit will come upon, you know, believers, what will happen? The evidence that the Holy Spirit will come upon them was that they prophesied. You can think of when the Israelites were going to battle and they will pray, and then the Spirit will come on one of the persons or one of the prophets, and they will prophesy and say, you know, believe in the Lord your God, believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. So there was something that they looked forward to as they prayed, you know, as they prepared for battle. They will pray together, or they will fast, they will sing, they will worship until they received the word from the Lord, until the Holy Spirit came, filled one or came upon one of the prophets, and when they prophesied, then they knew that they had the word of the Lord, and this was the word that will take them. So what they needed at that point was the rhema. And remember, we say man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every now word. You know, it's that now word that comes, that has been translated from the Logos and becomes the rhema word, that is the word that is to take you through that moment. Now, unless we learn the principle of, you know, of, I don't know whether you can call it, you know, activating your spirit, or getting high in the spirit, or, you know, or just being filled, or where the place where you are either in prayer or you are reading the word. You know, there are ways in which you can get to that point, in that either you can be in worshiping God. As you worship God, as you worship God, then you have a lift in your spirit. You have, you know, some people will call it a note of victory, or you have a place where you receive the joy of the Spirit of God, or you receive the sense of peace. This is what you will call that spiritual substance. You know, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you're praying for something, when you're believing God for something, when you're, you know, rejoicing, there is a place where God gives you an answer. There is a place in the spiritual realm where you reach, where something breaks, where something, you know, something supernatural happens. Either you start speaking in tongues, or you start prophesying, and you start declaring things over your life. Now, you have to remember that for us, we are more than the Old Testament believers, because we are the new creation and the Holy Spirit lives inside us. And so the Bible says that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. That means that we are not expecting an outpouring from above, but we are expecting an indwelling outpouring from within us. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. So what are we expected to do in our time? When we are trusting God for something, when we are believing God for victory, when we are, you know, we're in that place of depending on God and seeking God for an answer, we must be in that place where we activate our spirits, where we are praying, whether it's either praying or reading the word or fasting or worship, until we get to that place of release. Why? Because whatever it is that we are looking for comes from within us, from out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And as we are in that place of worship, and as you can see, like for in this case, Mary also, out of that overflow, out of that spirit that the Holy Spirit comes upon her, she's able to prophesy. And she's able to speak of the Messiah. She's able to give thanks to God. She says, look at what God has done. She has picked her from, you know, the poor. She has the humble. She was weak. But now she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Look at what God does. God has every answer that we desire. God has every need, every thought that we are thinking of. It is just for us, we have not spent time with him enough to get to the place where our answers lie, to get to the place where God gives us this joy in the Holy Ghost. And this is really that joy in the Spirit. And I pray that each of us shall just spend time with God, that we can be filled. You know, we can get to that point of victory. We can, you know, fight for our answers, or search into God or deep into God, until God releases that breakthrough in us. The reason we are defeated is because we've not gone into the deep. You know, Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep and throw your nets for a catch. When we play with shallow waters, we don't get much. But when we deep calls out into the deep, then that is the place where, you know, God calls us to. And out of the roar of his waterfalls, you know, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. So we have an interesting encounter here. Mary, Elizabeth, John the Baptist meeting the Messiah, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, leaps for joy in the womb. The mother, filled with the Spirit, prophesies over Mary and tells her, blessed is she who has believed that there will be a fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken to her. We see Mary herself, filled with the Spirit, and also prophesies. And this is what Joel said. And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. And on my maid servants, both male and female, they shall prophesy. Yes, you are your own prophet. You can speak life over yourself. You can declare where you will be, what you will do, what you will achieve. You can prophesy over your own life. You are your own prophet. I will stop there and allow us to reflect on that. You're welcome, God's people.
Thank you, everyone. Indeed, God is great and merciful. I think he's a promise keeper, because we see he kept his promise. The promise made to Abraham to be merciful to his people forever. The birth of Christ was that promise he had kept also to Abraham. The one thing I also pick from Mary's story is that, and Elizabeth, but say, is that you see that even when Elizabeth, you know, the Spirit fills them, she learns of, you know, Mary is carrying the Lord. She rejoices with her, you know. There's not, even if she knows, because she had been waiting the son for quite some time. Of course, God blessed her with a son. Here comes Issa also, you know, who has been blessed. A greater son than her son. She did not feel envious about that. She did not, you know, she went ahead to rejoice with Mary.
Yeah.
You know, which to me is was also good, because one could easily be jealous in that moment and, you know, those things that we can't control and say, well, why is she giving birth to me? But we see that Elizabeth rejoices and indeed acknowledge. I think the first to acknowledge Jesus as God, you know. So I think it's good, and thanks for the reminder.
Amen. I love that. May we all be so blessed that we have no reason to be jealous for anyone else, because God is blessing all of us. I mean, we are all the blessed family of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow. That's a good one. Yes. Yemin, you want to say something? Come here.
To be honest, what I always still like that, right? That, you know, that have you ever been fish in the sea? You know, that you want to catch fish in the sea. In the sea, in the ocean. So the resource is unlimited.
Yes.
So think about, it is a single creation of Father. So our Father, blessing, mercy, everything is unlimited.
Amen.
So what we need to do, we need to go near to the ocean to catch peace. So we need to go, we need to surrender ourselves to our Father. Then we'll feel the blessing, all the mercy. Because he's the king of all kings. He's authority over all authority. And secondly, second thing I always feel that God bless us with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is with us to always protect us, save us, to guide us in a rider. So that's my feeling.
Amen. True.
Thank you.
The ocean is available. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. Amen. Any other reflections?
Good morning. Nothing from my side. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, amen. Okay, let us give thanks to God. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you are in charge. You have loved us and you've given us the most precious gift, your Son. And he comes to give us his Spirit, and he is unlimited. And indeed, it is just for us. The rivers are available. And I pray, we thank you for what you've done in the life of Mary, what you've done in the life of Elizabeth, what you also did in the womb for John the Baptist. And for us, we can see and declare that, Lord, you are God, and you are able to release that which you have prepared for us. And I thank you that, Lord, indeed, everyone that is in that place looking for an answer, looking for that place of direction, may they come to the waters. May they come to the waters and drink. Come to that place where we buy without money, where we can partake of the unlimited blessings that are in you. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, may we be guided, may we be taught by you, may we be protected. Watch over our lives, watch over our families, watch over everything that concerns us, O God. Indeed, even them that are looking for answers, them that are trusting in you for a breakthrough, for direction, the Lord, you make a way. Nothing is impossible with you, O God. We thank you for your continued hand of our lives, and even in everything that we do, may you walk ahead of us. We bless your name and we honor you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Amen. And have a blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.